Going Through Life with Betty and Bob. This is Milton Cross, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to join us for a visit with Betty and Bob Drake. But first, a few words from a friend of yours. Betty and Bob and their family returned to the country so that Bob could find peace and quiet after his dangerous illness. In fact, it was understood that Bob was to sell his newspaper, the Monroe Trumpet, as soon as a satisfactory buyer could be found. But it appears a man can't give his life to a newspaper for a couple of years and then just forget it and the community in which it has been a fighting crusader. So Betty has been having a hard time keeping Bob from rushing back to the city. While Betty and Bob were arguing it all out, Chet Andrews drove up in his car. Chet, the local school teacher who seems to have fallen in love at first sight with Claire Evans, the widow of Bob's star reporter, was become a part of the Drake family. Chet did not know that Claire was a widow, and Betty and Bob have just told him. But they have not yet revealed to him Claire's whole tragic story. We now join them as they sit in their wicker chairs out on the Drake lawn.
Claire is a wonderful girl, Chet.
One look and I knew that. Anybody'd know that.
Yes.
I don't know why you should want to tell me anything about her.
Oh, don't look like that, Chet. We've nothing terrible to tell you about Claire.
I hardly think so.
But there are things that I'm sure you ought to know.
You're sure?
Well, if you're interested in Claire.
I certainly am.
Well, Chet, no two young people were ever more in love than Claire and Hal Evans. They were childhood sweethearts in a little town out west. And their whole love was built around the dream that someday Hal would be a great writer.
A writer?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it seems to surprise you, Chet. Why?
Oh, no, it doesn't surprise me exactly. Except that I dabble at writing now and then myself.
Mm-hmm.
You?
Now you seem surprised.
No, not surprised exactly. It's just that...
It must be that Claire has a special attraction for budding young writers.
Yes, it must be.
They were very poor, Chet. Marriage seemed a long way off. And then Hal heard about Bob taking over the Trumpet. Figuring a new publisher taking over a famous old newspaper might be interested in new blood, he hitchhiked 1,000 miles to come and ask for a job.
And he got it.
Well, he was sort of lucky that Bob's secretary was out to lunch and he burst right into Bob's office.
Well, did he have any experience?
Well, he was editor of his high school paper and a couple of things like that.
Well, then why did you give him the job?
Well, there's just something about him I liked. The instant I saw him, he had a spark in him. And, you know, I didn't find out about his hitchhiking 1,000 miles and about the girl he'd left back west until he'd been working me for over a month.
And then when Hal felt his job was secure, well, he sent for Claire, and they got married.
It's a wonderful story.
Yes. Yes, it was a wonderful story. The only terrible thing about it is that it had to have a tragic ending.
Oh, that's Claire.
Yes. Yes, she's in the back of the house playing with the twins.
That's a beautiful laugh.
Say, Betty, you know, I think that's the first time I've heard Claire laugh like that. Out loud, I mean. She's smiled a whole lot more lately and talked more, but laugh.
Yes. That's the first time I've heard her laugh since Hal's death. Well, Chet, the Trumpet was investigating a crooked gambling ring that seemed to have branches all over America, with its roots right in Monroe. Bob stumbled on it and carried on the investigation quietly at first. He didn't even tell me because he didn't want to scare me. The only person he took into his confidence was Hal.
I should never have done that. Hal took too many chances. I should have used one of the older men.
Well, racketeers learned of the Trumpet's investigation. At first, they tried to frighten Bob off. Then they made several efforts to kill him.
After the first one, I ordered Hal to quit the investigation. He said he would. But he didn't.
Well.
Kept right on, and one night he tracked down Alan Bishop, the leader of the gang, to his hideout over the state line. They caught him at it. Police got his body out of the river.
Oh, how awful.
Yes, I'm afraid my conscience, as well as my love for Hal, will never let me forget him.
Oh, I don't think you were to blame. I know this sounds kind of trite, but... Well, it all happened in the line of duty. But... Well, Claire, what happened to her when she found out?
Oh, Chet, grief in anyone is a terrible thing to see. But Claire's grief, the way she refused to believe it at first. Well, she'd stay in her room and talk to him as if he were still alive. As if she were holding his spirit in her hands and trying to keep it from slipping through her fingers. Her grief, it seemed as if it were all the sorrow in the world. And more than the world could bear.
We took Claire to live with us. But as the weeks went by and she seemed to get no better, and as the memory of Hal grew instead of lessened, we finally had to call in Bill Carlton, a friend of ours. He's a psychiatrist.
And little by little, he began to bring her down to earth. And to the realization that while life without Hal was almost too much to endure, there was another life she had to consider first.
Another life?
Yes. Claire's going to have a baby.
She is?
Yes. See, it was Bill Carlton's making her realize the responsibilities of motherhood, her duties to her coming child, that saved Claire. And we all thought she was beyond saving.
Oh, there she's laughing again.
Oh, you don't know what a thrilling thing that is for Bob and me.
It doesn't mean that she's forgotten Hal. Nobody wants her to, and well, I don't think she ever will.
No, no. I'm sure she loves him as if he were still alive. But at last, she's looking forward to a new life instead of always backward on the life that she'd lost.
So, that's Claire's story, Chet. We thought you ought to know it.
Yes. Thanks.
Here she comes. Claire! Claire, we've got a visitor.
Oh, well, hello, Mr. Andrews.
Hi, Mrs. Evans.
Been playing with the twins?
I thought I'd escape for a moment. They're climbing all over your mother now. Well, what's the matter? You all look so sober.
We're sober people, Claire.
Oh, no. You look as though you've been discussing some life and death matter.
No.
You've been in some kind of a conspiracy. What is it?
No, I'm afraid you're wrong, Claire.
I hate to feel left out.
You're not left out, darling.
You seem rather tired.
Tired? No, not at all.
Won't you sit down?
Sit down? But I told you I'm not tired.
Well, don't you think you ought to sit down anyway?
We just told Chet that you're going to have a baby, darling, and he must have read in a book somewhere that expectant mothers ought to sit down all the time.
Oh, well, he read the wrong book. The last time I saw Dr. Chapman, he told me to keep quite active.
Well, it's kind of late. Mrs. Wallace, I stay with the Wallaces. She'll be kind of sore if I'm late for dinner.
Well, why don't you stay and have dinner with us?
Yes, Chet, why don't you?
Oh, no, thanks. She's got supper prepared, and she'd really raise the dickens with me.
Oh, come on now. I'll make your excuses for you.
No, I can't. You're very kind to suggest it, but, well, goodbye, Bob.
Well, goodbye, Chad, if you're bent on running away from us.
I am. goodbye, Betty.
Goodbye. See you again soon.
You bet. Goodbye, Mrs. Evans.
Goodbye, Mr. Andrews.
I really have to step on it. Mrs. Wallace will ball me out for sure.
Well, if she gets too rough, call on us and we'll help you out.
Goodbye.
So
long.
Bye. Nice fellow, isn't he?
Yes, very.
Funny about him being a writer, too.
Bob.
A writer? I thought he said he was a teacher.
Well, he writes on the side.
Stories?
Well, I don't know, Claire. We didn't go into it exactly. He just happened to mention it. I don't know just what he does write. He stories or plays or... Well, for all I know, he may write jokes.
If you meant that for a joke, it's not funny.
Yeah, I know.
What are you thinking of, Claire?
Mr. Andrews. He's rather strange, isn't he?
Strange? How do you mean?
Why, the way he got embarrassed and ran off.
Oh, well, I guess he's the type that embarrasses easily.
But why?
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 Hal used to get embarrassed like that. He'd blush at almost anything, but I used to like that in him. He'd always pretend that he was so hard-boiled, and then right in the middle of his pretending, he'd blush.
Say, who's this coming?
Yeah. Oh, judging by the bicycles, the boy from the local telegraph office.
Oh, he's riding right in here. I'll go see what he's got.
All right.
Telegram from Mr. Blake.
Hey. Hey. Here's something for you, youngster.
Oh, thanks.
Well, what is it, Bob?
Well, just as soon as I read it, I'll let you know. Say, it's from Chief of Police Henderson.
What?
Coming to see you tomorrow on morning train. Will you meet me at station Henderson?
Well, I wonder...
Oh, what's there to wonder about? I told you that Henderson was forced to resign, and his coming down here to see us proves it.
Yes.
Betty, there's a fight going on in Monroe. A fight between good and evil. And we've got to get into it. We've just got to.
Oh, take it easy, Bob. Take it easy.
What has happened in Monroe? Is Bob's analysis right? Does the resignation of Chief Henderson and his coming to see Bob mean that the forces of corruption in Monroe decided that Bob's retirement was their great opportunity to drive to power? And Betty, will she be able to keep Bob quietly in the country? Will she want to? This is Milton Cross again, ladies and gentlemen, inviting you to take a moment to listen to an important message. This program is presented over this station 5 times each week, Monday through Friday, at this same hour. Join us when we next meet Betty and Bob. Your announcer, Milton Cross.